You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS
and Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Monday, April 13th, 2015. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the three-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live. Steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, it's official, or it will be, Marco Rubio will be entering in the presidential sweepstakes 2016. Also on the program today, Hillary Clinton announces her candidacy. And while we are away, Rand Paul announces his candidacy. Also on the program today, years of cuts have left the IRS in disarray. Not to mention of failure to fund a new food safety program, new as in 5 years old, still contributes to tens of thousands of Americans getting ill from foodborne illnesses and dying in the thousands every year. New Obamacare numbers in, number of uninsured in this country continues to drop significantly. Drop a lot sharply. It would drop more sharply. It would drop in a lot more dramatic fashion where Medicaid expanded across the country. Congress returns, as have we, and it could very well be first up on the docket, fast track authority. We've even put Senator Wyden's information on our website for you to contact him and tell him no fast track authority. We know the TPP is, well, let's just call it BS. A consortium of left wing multimillionaires are planning to fund some initiative in the States. And in very Majority Report-centric news, the patent troll suit is dead. So let's get into it. We may take calls a little bit earlier. It's just going to be us today. Is the sound okay? I know it's a little bit weird. I was in here during the break, actually.
Yes, it's a little bit weird.
Is it sounding okay? What does it sound like?
It sounds okay. What did you do?
I don't remember. I honestly don't remember. I had to change things to do Ring of Fire. So we got to get somebody in here. Maybe next week we'll get Chad in here and we'll redo stuff. Why don't you put my low end up a little bit, though? Sounds like, and my mid up a little bit. That might help. Just a hair. I think that, yeah, now we're getting there. and am I peaking or no? Am I getting too?
I mean, it's you're not, but it sounds a little bit like it, but you're not. So I don't know.
Okay, well,
I have you down from where you usually are, so we should be good.
Okay. Let's start with the more Majority Reporto-centric. Look, let me say something now. I might as well say this. I'll probably say it 1,000 other times. there's nowhere you can go in the media ecosystem. I don't even know why I have to say media ecosystem. There's nowhere you can go in the media. I don't even know why I have to say media, because put my mic down just a little bit here, just on the gain. Just drop the gain just a hair. All right, that's, I think, a little better. I was a little bit hot. There's nowhere you can go. Obviously, there's places in the planet, but, I mean, if you own a newspaper, not necessarily a newspaper printer, but if you read a newspaper or you read the internets or if you have a television, you're going to know about Hillary Clinton announcing her candidacy. Many of you have probably watched the video already, which announced it. It would be awkward for me not to weigh in, but on the other hand, it's also, it's not a bunch of news that you couldn't get somewhere else. But I'm going to weigh in just because that's that. I mean, I think people have a decent sense of where I'm at in terms of Hillary Clinton, and that's probably not going to change over time. But we'll get to that in a minute. But I just want to, you know, tell people my perspective on having to cover this stuff. It's more fun to cover the Republicans. They're all lunatics, and they're not going to win. But it shows a certain amount of dysfunction that exists in our society. The Hillary stuff is a little bit more nuanced in terms of why it's problematic, and perhaps slightly more inevitable. All right, but before we get to that, let me talk about this patent troll thing, because this is for an extended period of time, I was very concerned about this. And then I went through a period of unmitigated joy because it was upsetting Marc Maron. And then it all culminated in my going out to, at least in my mind, out to L.A. to shoot an episode of Maron that was about the patent troll, who was challenging people who had existing podcasts and basically saying, well, we got two or three letters from lawyers. And now in retrospect, I'm sad I didn't set up the conference call that we were supposed to do. I'm really sad because I had the whole thing planned out. And Nikki was just like, don't do this. Why do you do things like this? This ends up coming back to bite you in the ass. And it's true. I've done so many of these things, things that I can't even tell you about. I can't tell you about. When I talk about I've alienated certain people in certain places, certain media outlets, understand that I've alienated them in such a way that it's I'm not going to make it public. The stories are really good. People have heard them, but I'm very discreet with who I tell them to because I don't want them to get out because it was childish behavior on my part that I found very entertaining for myself at the time. With always like, what's the chances of this coming back to bite me in the ass? And then it's all of a sudden like, oh, he's the landlord, or he's the, she's the one who's responsible as to whether or not you get coverage for your colonoscopy. Or
I just whatever. Own everything yeah. now, Sam. Yeah, everything just, with regards to you is run by me.
It's, I mean, honestly. So what I was going to do with these patent trolls, they first sent me a letter. I ignored it. I asked Maron if he got it. I contacted the EFF to get them involved, and their involvement ended up being very important. But that's the first thing I did. In fact, that day I had them on my show when I got the letter. And so they came on, we talked about it, and then I got another letter. And ultimately I figured out that they got the letter because I had won a podcast award. Podcast awards, incidentally, are going to be announced, I think, on Tuesday. Is it Tuesday? Coincidentally, I'm going to be in Vegas for a PAPS conference. I'll talk about that more later. But so this patent troll was basically saying, like, we invented podcasting. We never actually did it. But we invented it based upon our idea about sending out a series of cassette tapes. So it was this ridiculousness. At one point, they're like, you better contact us. We want to set up a conference call, a video conference call. And so I had the whole thing planned out. The guy was going to say, like, what are your revenue for? And I said, well, hold on. Let me call down to accounting. I was going to put on like a little accountant hat and go, hello, I'm here. And just just to see the look on their faces as this guy that they would assume is completely insane responds to all their calls. And I said, let me talk to legal affairs. And I put a tie on. Hello, I'm from legal affairs. How can I help you? Just to give these guys a sense of like, do you realize how, I mean, you're like how down at the bottom of the barrel you are scraping for cash for them? So that never happened. But this did a couple of days ago. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office invalidated key claims in the so-called podcasting patent. After a petition for review from the EFF, a decision that significantly curtails the ability of a patent troll to threaten podcasters big and small. You'll recall that it was a company called Personal Audio that began demanding licensing fees from podcasters, including comedian Adam Carolla, three major television networks, also Sam Cedar. Personal Audio doesn't do podcasting. EFF showed that Personal Audio did not invent anything new before it filed its patent application. And in fact, other people were podcasting for years previously. Earlier examples of podcasting include internet pioneer Carl Malamud's Geek of the Week online radio show and online broadcast by CNN and the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. There you have it. It's not completely over, but it's basically over. So long, suckers. I'm sorry that I never. And you know what? I don't care. I'm from now on, if something like that comes up, I'm burning the bridge. I don't care anymore. I really don't. There's no bridge. The only bridge I'm really concerned about burning would be like the Manhattan Bridge or the Brooklyn Bridge, in case I want to get to Manhattan. But this is it. Only physical bridges are the only bridges I'm not going to burn anymore. Anymore. That's it for now on.
No more physical bridges.
All right. Let's get into this. Hillary Clinton, of course, announced her candidacy via YouTube. I guess it was yesterday. And I tuned in with my wife, my sister, and my daughter, and all of whom are very excited at the prospect of a woman becoming president of the United States. Now, let me be clear here. I don't think that you can lightly disregard this. I mean, I think there's – let me rephrase that. I don't know that people are doing that. But there's some sense out there that, look, just because she's a woman does not mean that you should vote for her. And that I actually think that there is a lot of people out there who are going to vote for her. Not just because she's a woman, but because she's a woman and is marginally no different from most other Democratic presidential candidates, right? I mean, look, there was not a huge difference policy-wise between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in the 2008 primary. I mean, I don't know if there was any. Hillary Clinton was for the mandate in her plan for the Affordable Care Act. President Obama was against it. And in retrospect, there seems to have been even less. I mean, I would say, to be honest with you, I think when I look at Clinton going forward, now, of course, yes, it was the big difference, I think, in that election was we're not going to vote for somebody who voted for the Iraq War, even though she had sort of backed off that. I would say foreign policy remains the biggest difference between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. I think she's going to be far more aggressive in that in her foreign policy. And that's the interesting thing about the critique that comes from a Lincoln Chafee, which we're going to play in a second. But the bottom line is, with all that said,
that she has a clearly sufficient expertise in being president, a clearly sufficient experience. It seems to me not unreasonable for people to say, like, I think that it's hugely important for this country to have a female president, and they vote for her. I am not quite there, but I do think it's a reasonable perspective to have. I mean, and I see it, and I think, you know, frankly, it's the responses from my wife and my sister and my daughter that I think make me more conscious of that. And again, still playing devil's advocate here on some level. If the fact is that because we have essentially excluded 50% more or less of our population for the past 200 some odd years from leadership positions, if the fact that we have perpetrated that, and that is our history, we have to have a less than optimal president to change that, even from my perspective, then that's what we get. I mean, that's just one of the prices you pay. Treating women as second-class citizens for such an extended period of time. So, but before we get to, let's get to first her campaign launch. So the interesting thing is when we watched this video, I watched this video at home with my daughter. As it came on, I thought it was an ad in support of Hillary that was going to run before the announcement, which I thought was really weird. In fact, my daughter was like, this is an ad that she didn't realize was part of the Clinton announcement. But here is that announcement. It's 2 minutes and 18 seconds long. And you should note, I don't know if it's explicit from the audio, but at one point, one guy talks about, this summer I'm going to marry somebody I care about. He's talking about his fiance, his boyfriend, pictured in the video. They're holding hands. There is at the end of the video also a lesbian couple that are being affectionate in the video. There's a mixed race couple. You'll hear, I think, Spanish. That is, what do you call it? Not closed caption, but they write what in English translated. So there is a very aggressive social liberalism to this video, which very distinct from Bill Clinton's run in 1993, or frankly, even Hillary Clinton's run, I think, for the Senate. But that's a sign of the times. Here's the video.
I'm getting ready for a lot of things. A lot of things. It's spring, so we're starting to get the gardens ready, and my tomatoes are legendary here in my own neighborhood.
My daughter is about to start kindergarten next year, and so we're moving, just so she can belong to a better school.
Mi hermano y yo estamos empezando un primer negocio.
Vaya.
After 5 years of raising my children, I am now going back to work.
Every day we're trying to get more ready and more prepared.
The big boy coming your way.
Right now I'm applying for jobs. It's a look into what the real world will look like after college.
I'm getting married this summer to someone I really care about.
I'm going to be in the play and I'm going to be in a fish costume. From little tiny fishes.
I'm getting ready to retire soon. Retirement means reinventing yourself in many ways.
Well, we've been doing a lot of home renovations.
But most importantly, we really just want to teach our dog to quit eating the trash.
And so we have high hopes for 2015 that that's going to happen.
I've started a new career recently. This is a fifth generation company, which means a lot to me. This country was founded on hard work, and it really feels good to be a part of that.
I'm getting ready to do something, too. I'm running for president. Americans have fought their way back from tough economic times, but the deck is still stacked in favor of those at the top. Everyday Americans need a champion, and I want to be that champion. So you can do more than just get by. You can get ahead and stay ahead. Because when families are strong, America is strong. So I'm hitting the road to earn your vote. Because it's your time. And I hope you'll join me on this journey.
So there it is. There's the announcement. Of course, this is, you know, this is basically theater critique at this point, and that's all that we have. And that's not unreasonable. We are a year and a half out from the election, and we don't know specifically what policy she's going to pursue. My theater review of this opening, I thought it was good. It was smart insofar as she didn't make it all about herself. And if you go back and you look at like Ted Cruz's announcement, it's all about himself. Ted Cruz's announcement is like the longest 2.5 minutes I think you'll ever spend. If you feel like you may have a terminal illness, watch that video. You'll feel like you live forever. But you don't want to. You feel like you're stuck in purgatory. It was, like I say, very socially progressive. Big tent gives you a sense of who she's appealing to. I didn't see any old people in there. The closest one was getting ready to retire, as opposed to the Fox demographic, which is, I retired 10 years ago, keep the government out of my Medicare constituency. You also had basically the subtext of this is not about me. She's going to go on her listening tour, and all that's well and good. And look, for what it's worth, and I don't know that it's worth a lot, she's at the very least set the marker. She wants to be the champion for the middle class. Well, that gives at least some leverage to progressive groups to say, look, this is okay. This is the bar you're going to have to pass in terms of, you know, I can see every statement being written by every progressive group out there 6 months from now. If Hillary Clinton wants to keep her vow to be the champion of the middle class, then she should be pursuing this policy, a living wage here, or expansion of Social Security there, et cetera, et cetera. So that's helpful. With all that said, it's theater. And with all that said, let me read, before we get too caught up in sort of middle class champion, et cetera, et cetera. Let me read some stuff from Bill Clinton's presidential brochures in 1992. America's in trouble. Our people are hurting. The rich keep getting richer, and the politicians just seem to be taking care of themselves. Bill Clinton will cut taxes for the middle class and make the rich pay their fair share. Bill Clinton will make sure American workers can get training and retraining throughout their careers. Bill Clinton will fight for tough, effective trade laws and encourage investment in research and development for emerging technologies. Now, in terms of the tax stuff, he did raise it from where it was, where Reagan had cut it. I mean, so to be fair, on trade, not so great. Middle-class working families are living in fear every day that if they get sick, they'll lose everything. That's wrong. In his last year as president, Bill Clinton will present a new American health care plan to... cover everybody. I mean, it was you. Maintain consumers' choice of doctors. Take on the insurance companies and the medical bureaucracy and demand reform. That's basically what the Affordable Care Act ended up being. at least on some level, in broad principles. It's time to put people first. That's the core of our national economic strategy for America, and that will be the fundamental idea that guides every day of our administration. For more than a decade, our government has been rigged in favor of the rich and special interests. While the wealthiest Americans get richer, the middle-class Americans work harder and earn less while paying higher taxes to a government that fails to produce what we need. Good jobs and a growing economy, world-class education, affordable health care. So the message, there's a little bit of that Reagan message in there, that government's problematic. But there's also there, so there's some populism there. Hardworking Americans who play by the rules have no voice in Washington. There's the outsider. You won't get that so much from Hillary Clinton. But it just gives you a sense of the value of these things. Now, in terms of some very substantive critique of Hillary Clinton, it has nothing to do with her announcement. But this was the most interesting critique that I have heard. Like we said earlier, if you look back on policy differences between 2007 Barack Obama, 2008 Barack Obama, and 2007, 2008 Hillary Clinton, and talking about in the primaries, not a huge difference in policy. I think the biggest difference, at the very least, the most obvious biggest difference, because God help us if Hillary Clinton brings in Barack Obama's first set of policy economic advisors, which was the Clintonistas in the first place. But put that aside. The most obvious glaring difference that I think is really clear here has been captured by a former Republican and a former independent and now a Democrat. Former governor of Rhode Island, Lincoln Chafee. He's also a former senator. He was a Republican senator. Then became, I think, an independent governor. Here he was on CNN announcing that he was contemplating running against Hillary Clinton for the Democratic nomination. And his reason is, I think, one of the most substantive critiques that we can access right now about Hillary Clinton. Here's that audio.
And Governor, you said explicitly that you're considering challenging Hillary Clinton primarily because of her vote for the Iraq War. You famously were the only then Republican to vote against the Iraq War back in 2002. But do you really think there's still enough anger left? This was a long time ago to propel your candidacy based on that.
Pause it. Can I just stop and bash Dana Bash here for a moment? Really? Really? I mean, you talk about it's a long time ago. Let's put this into some type of context. If someone brings up Whitewater, I think it's perfectly legitimate for a newscaster to say, that's a long time ago. Because it's not only a long time ago, 30 years, whatever it was, 40 years. It's a long time ago for a relatively narrow, parochial, not too seismic of an event. Okay? But to say that the Iraq War was a long time ago, when half the country is, let me put it this way, when we are still actually running bombing sorties to try and stabilize things there, where we have taken out the vast amount of our troops only a year or two ago, a war that lasted longer than any other war that we had been involved in, where hundreds of thousands of people lost their lives, that I would imagine it's not so much of a bygone. Yeah, it was 8 years ago. My whole family got blown up. That to me is just the height of irresponsibility. I mean, the idea, it's one thing to make no sort of commentary on that, on the Iraq War. But to say, like, to diminish the relevance of that as a historical event by saying, this is a long time ago, seems incredibly irresponsible.
He also, before that interview, and as you'll see, not once did he ever make the argument, well, I'm angry and pissed at Hillary Clinton about that, so therefore you should punish her.
No.
He's saying this reveals a flaw.
Judgment. Right. Continue.
Well, I enjoyed working with Senator Clinton. We overlapped for 6 years, and we served on the Environment and Public Works Committee together, and we worked on some breast cancer issues. We worked on endangered species together. I enjoyed that. But that vote for the Iraq War, that was a moment in time, Dana, where the Vietnam era had ended, the Berlin Wall had come down. There was an age of lasting peace ahead of us if we made good decisions, particularly after September 11th, when people were angry and they were scared. And that was just a moment in time where the premise for going into Iraq was so false that there were weapons of mass destruction. She didn't do her homework. And we live with the ramifications today. And so you might say, oh, that's 12 years ago. But we live with it today. And it's a big motivator for why I'm running. If you show lack of judgment, lack of doing your homework then, what can we expect in the future?
You have called Hillary Clinton a Democratic Bush enabler, and you said that when you endorsed her opponent in 2008, Barack Obama. What about now? Do you think that her foreign policy chops are appropriate, or maybe her ideals and her goals are appropriate looking at the world now?
As I said, we're going to have a lot of areas of agreement domestically, but I have some big areas of disagreement internationally. Yes, I would say even her tenure as Secretary of State was kind of a muscular, top-down, unilateral, too close to the neocons, too Bush-lite, and you could say after...
You could say after... Well, that's a weird place to end it. But be that as it may, that's the critique. And that seems to me to be a pretty valid one. I mean... She has not been, I don't know if she's come out in terms of this Iran agreement one way or another.
She's been supportive of it.
But it's just fascinating to me that a lot of the logjam opens up after she's out. Now, that may just be because of she didn't want to go out on a limb, politically speaking, whereas Kerry seems to be perfectly willing to wrap up his career this way. But I think this is a valid critique of Hillary Clinton, and one which I think is going to have lasting legitimacy. I don't know who in the general election can make an argument, can make this argument against her, maybe short of Rand Paul, frankly. And Rand Paul, that would involve one of the most disingenuous and sincere arguments possible, because Rand Paul doesn't believe in anything. But be that as it may, he's well positioned to do it. I don't know that anybody believes in anything, but I increased my vote for time, you know, for defense spending. I didn't change my position. We'll get to that in a minute. But just... that's an interesting critique. And here's the thing about Lincoln Chafee, is that he could run on that. And here's the other thing about Lincoln Chafee. He doesn't give a crap if he doesn't have to go back into the Senate caucus and work with anybody. He doesn't have to. I think this is like, I'm going to wrap stuff up. So that could be interesting to see him run, at least on that front. Make candidate Hillary Clinton take positions on foreign policy questions, really crucial positions. All right, we will. So that's the Hillary Clinton. Oh, and then Marco Rubio is going to run. Marco Rubio, that, you know, I don't know what else to say. Marco Rubio is going to run. Good luck with that. I mean, he's a guy who you could imagine would be talked about for the vice presidency, I don't know that he would get picked, but you definitely imagine him to be talked about so that the Republicans can make it look like they're contemplating putting someone of Latino descent on their ballot. That's what the whole Republican strategy is, right? We're going to talk about it, which means that we're open to it, which means that it's almost like we did it, and then we'll go with two white guys. That's the plan, I think. We're going to absolutely talk about Carly Fiorina.
Even she can't be that delusional.
No. Let's talk about Rand Paul. So this happened when we were gone, too, and then we'll head into the fun half. Oh, I should just tell you, as a matter of house cleaning, I hope this isn't too annoying for people who like to listen to the show live. Tomorrow, I will have pre-taped the interview, and then Matt and Mike will do the the fun half. I am heading to Vegas for the conference. I'm going earlier than I generally go because I may go to the award ceremony for podcast awards. I don't know if we're going to win. That's the thing. I have no idea.
Did you see they replaced Dennis Miller?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, son of a... That was the only reason why I was even like... Who did they replace him with?
Well, I'm excited. I wish I could go. Chris Jericho.
Who's that?
That wrestler.
You're kidding me!
But he's a big he's big.
Yeah,
big
but name. I wanted to yeah, crap all over Dennis Miller. That was my main.
I know.
That'd be so funny. If you're like, so sorry, Chris. This material is written for Dennis. I'll just use it on you.
I will say. I mean, I'm not even sure now that I would go. Because I was
we're still very grateful for all the support. Everybody.
This was going to be my first chance to burn a bridge. And do it like in a big public fashion.
Well, let's do our. I wonder if he got afraid. We're going to do our Dennis Miller, Adam Carolla response podcast, and that will do a lot of bridge building right there.
Oh, well, so that's too bad.
Let me hear your Dennis Miller impression. Do you have one?
No.
See, that's a little Dennis-y right there.
That's
Pliny, historical reference.
I'm sorry. That's like putting tribbles on the deck of the Poseidon.
I like that.
Yeah, there you
go. That's a good impression.
There you go. Gorkon from the planet Viver Dice. Son of a bitch, though. I was getting very excited. I was going to bring the Dennis Miller doll. Oh, now I should just bring it anyway.
I should bring it anyways and say he's filling in for Dennis, special appearance.
That's what I'm going to do.
Boom.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring it. And if I don't know if we won. That's the thing is they don't tell you. So you got to go to the award ceremony and I don't know.
That's like a proper award ceremony.
All right. So the point being, on Wednesday, I think it'll be a Matt and Mike Wednesday. And then I'll be live Thursday and Friday from the conference. I will be talking to multiple trial lawyers. And on Friday, I'm also going to be talking to Cenk Uygur, who's going to be down there. And then I don't know who else. I always run into other people.
Cenk Uygur.
It's like talking to a...
Johnny Carson.
Baba, baba. All right. Yabba, dabba, gabba, dabba. Not saying anything that makes any sense. Then we gotta get President Obama over there and get the sand out of his shoes. Wipe the camembert off his fingers.
Oh my God. Michael.
You're gonna have to have a tracheotomy.
I enjoyed the when you asked me about the AJ English thing last week, and we did the I should just go on there like dice.
When does President Obama let the Ayatollah sleep in the Lincoln bedroom? What's next? How about a little common sense? They want to wipe Israel off the planet of the earth. President Obama thinks he's on Star Trek going across the... I don't know. It's just
all right, no need to check in on what Dennis Miller's been doing the last 15
years.
That about sums it up.
Yeah, exactly. It's like my Passover meal. Got into a fight. I did have the opportunity to announce to my entire extended family a Passover. There was an occasion for me to say, I just want to remind everybody here that Benjamin Netanyahu is a documented liar and also has committed espionage against our country. And poor Milo was like, Dad,
please.
Not now.
Just have the brisket.
Just, yeah, sit.
Self-hating Jew.
Well, there's a lot of people who voted Democrat who thinks that Barack Obama does not like Israel. I'm like, so what? No one's going to vote for him again. He's not going to run for presidency. Well, but still.
Suckers.
I'll tell you, I watched this interview with Obama on his foreign policy, and the guy is like genuinely emotionally hurt that people perceive him as being anti-Israel. I mean, it was very interesting watching that interview.
Wow.
Like, well, not only is he like...
Maybe you should bail out the banks again just to... The show.
Anything I can do for you, people? nothing anti-Semitic about that. A makeup for being perceived as anti-Israel.
Should I bail out the banks again? How about I bail out the banks again?
Passover gift.
There we go.
Come on.
All right. Let's go into the fun half. We'll do the Rand Paul stuff in the fun half. The bottom line is, well, I just told you all, right? So there you have it. That's what's going to happen this week. By Monday, we'll be back to our regular scheduled programming. I won't be going anywhere. I won't be traveling anywhere. I'll just be in here. It'll probably be excessively hot, sweaty. Matt will be taking a vacation soon. Well, actually, around then, we'll be all on vacation. That's in July, hopefully. Knock on wood. We got to get a pool going. All right. The number 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920. You can IM me, ladies and gentlemen, via the app. Oh, hey, just a reminder, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. This month, shipping is free. 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 So pick up. If you've ever wanted to try Just Coffee, now's the time to do it. Also, if you buy crap from Amazon, buy it through our Amazon link at majorityreportkickback.com. Folks, it's your membership. Tax time seems to be a time where a lot of people can't be members anymore. If you are somebody who at tax time realized, hey, you can be a member, support the program, please, by all means, join the majorityreport.com. Or go to majority.fm, click on become a member. An update, we're at like 108% of our goal on the Indiegogo. I still haven't put up that stuff with the Marin stuff, but when I do that, I'll do that soon. I just haven't gotten to it. We did have the new, a new perk from Donkey Hoti. I'm pronouncing it correctly. I think one person has gotten that already. We're going to be doing where you can get a caricature of yourself, use it as an avatar. His stuff is featured on The Guardian. Bloomberg just did a profile of him. Check it out. It's a very generous gift on his part. And you can pick it up by just heading over to the Indiegogo campaign at themajorityreport.com. All right, we're going to take a quick break. 646-257-3920. Back in a moment.